I enjoyed that, didn't you? We advertised the Stones are going to be singing. We might get a different group, right? But I like our Stones the best, don't you? Thank you, brothers. That was good. He thought of me most of all. Mark chapter number 6. Good to be here with you all today. Missed you while we were gone. Lord bless, had a good trip. Had some saved and some encouraged. And good to be home, though, always. Mark chapter 7. I think we've all needed help from some time or another. We've all had a mountain in front of us and we've asked God to move mountains. And sometimes we just ask God to help us get up it. I think we're just always desperate seeking God for something. And I think when we're really desperate, when we really seem to get a hold of God sometimes, and maybe we need to be more desperate in our prayers. But this story that we have today, to me, is just an awesome story because it shows desperation, but and it shows the Lord in His work. And I want you to follow with me today. It's in Mark 7, verse 24. This passage is also found in Matthew 15. And I might challenge you when you go home today to read that account of this story. Jesus hardly ever left Israel. But this is one time He did. And when He sent His disciples out of Matthew chapter 10, He told them to only go to the lost sheep of Israel. That was His priority. And it seems like all along the way, these Samaritans or Gentiles were finding Jesus. We had the story of the Good Samaritan. We had the woman at the well. There's so many stories about the Gentile people finding Jesus. And we know that He came for the world. But the Jews were His priority when He was here. Now we know that kind of changed in the end because the Great Commission was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth who God wanted us to go to. But in this story today, we see a different Jesus, but it's the same Jesus. The world wants to make Him different. The world wants to make things in a story that's not there. And I want you to look at it in the passage in which it's written, and let's see how Jesus operates with this woman who was a Gentile. Matthew referred to her as a Canaanite. Verse 24 of Mark 7 says, "And from thence He arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house, and He would not and would have no man know it, but He could not be hid." Have you ever wanted to be away from people? I tell Rochelle, I said, you know, sometimes I just want to be away from people. And then I think, you're a preacher. You can't be away from people. But you know, even Jesus needed to get away. Now here, this is not a sermon, but I wanted to share this with you. He wanted to be hid. Do you see that in verse 24? He wanted to be hid. But what? He could what? He could not be hid. You know, Romans 8:11 tells us, if the Spirit of God is in us, it will be manifest out of us. You know, when you're saved, you may think you can hide it, but you can't. You know, you can try to hide it, but it'll come out. You know, I keep bringing Peter up, but Peter was being identified as one of the disciples at that fire. Remember that? And he kept denying it. And the last time, if you go back and read it, the Bible said he began to curse and swear. What did he do? He went back to the old way he used to talk. But you know what? People realized who he was by his speech before that. When Jesus is in us, he's going to come out. So let him out. That's not the sermon, but I thought it would be a good place to say that. He wanted to be hid, but he couldn't be hid. The Bible said, verse 25, for a certain woman who was young, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. All right, Bible trivia people, you all ready? Get this right. Patrick will take and feed you for lunch. You ready? Who was another Syrophoenician woman in the Bible? Who said that? You win. You make sure he takes you to eat, Martha. Now you think that was set up. It was not. It looked set up, but it wasn't. Jezebel was a Syrophoenician woman. And boy, she was great, amen? They've been a lot of dairy cattle named after her. But I've never heard of another kid, or girl or woman, right? So we got this woman. She has a daughter that is possessed with a demon. The daughter's young. She comes to Jesus. She falls at his feet. Let's keep reading. The Bible said, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Now people read that and they just really go crazy about what Jesus says. And we'll clear that in a second. But just as you're reading it, Jesus says, I don't want to give the children's bread to the dogs. That doesn't sound like Jesus. So let's read on. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now that's a cool story. So let me tell you three or four things that you can gather from that today. I want you to see this woman's desperation and what it caused her to do. I put it down like it's a prayer. You say, yeah, but I don't really think she was praying. What is praying? It's talking to God. Who's she talking to? God. So whether she bowed her head, fell on her knees, or raised her arms and looked up into the sky, she's having a conversation with Jesus, the Son of God. I want you to see three things about this conversation. Number one, her urgent request. I wrote this down. I want you to listen to how I said it. It sounded good in my head. Sometimes I write it and it don't look as good. God won't answer 100% of the prayers we don't pray. God won't answer 100% of the prayers you don't pray. We have not, because we ask not. Here's a woman who has no ties to Israel. Actually, if we go back and study in Deuteronomy, then when they were told to go into the promised land, they were told to kill these people. But they didn't do it. And so now these people are part of the world, and we got Jezebel that's come out of this group. We've got other times and other people. And here we got this woman who is not a believer in God, who doesn't worship God like the Jews worship, and she finds Jesus, and she goes to him with her request. We should get this. We are God's people, and we don't go to Him with our requests. Anybody got any prayer requests? No, not one hand goes up. Unspoken? But we don't want anybody, it's really not for me, unspoken, it's unspoken for somebody else. I'm just speaking on their behalf. We are the people that are so proud to ask God for help that we don't ask God for help. Before you seek another doctor, before you seek another banker on your financial needs, you ought to seek God. You know, I think God got the corner on finances. I mean, I got some guys right here that can talk to you about some loans. Maybe make some predictions for you. But I'm going to tell you what, God knows more than Arnie knows about banking. Go to God. He wrote the book on finances. Go to God when it comes to physical needs. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said only the sick need a doctor. I like that. It's pretty deep, isn't it? I have no trouble seeing doctors. But I can tell you this, before I ever went to see the doctor, I done talked to the physician. You got marital problems? You need to seek the counselor. You know he performed the first marriage? I don't know anybody that knows more about marriage than the one that performed the first one. He's got all the answers on your marriage. Raising kids. How many's enjoying that? I'm enjoying being a grandparent. It's so awesome. I watch my kids wrestle with their kids, struggle with their kids, and I'm like, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the promises that you made me, that they that sow shall reap. Any other parents my age want to just throw an amen up? Thank you. Don't be afraid. Amen. And we pray, Nan and I pray for y'all, just like our parents did. But you got to go through it. Through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley. You and I have got to get where we'll go to God for our needs. This woman, if you look at this story, I just want to show you three things. Look at number one. She was desperate. The Bible tells us that she had heard of him and she besought him. I love that verse in 26. She besought him. She besought him. You know, we always talk about God searching us out, and I think He does. But He said, if we seek Him, we'll find Him. Go with me to Jeremiah 29. Let me just take you out of Mark for a minute. While you're turning there, let me tell you what Matthew says about this story. When the woman came to Jesus and asked Him if He would help her daughter, does anybody know what Jesus said in Matthew 15? He said nothing. He didn't answer her. Can I ask a question to everybody in the room? Have you ever prayed and you didn't get an answer from God? No? Boy, I have. Do you quit or do you keep asking? See, that's what you learn in this story. When Jesus didn't answer, she didn't shut up. She just kept asking. When Jesus said, the bread is for the children, she didn't quit talking. She said, I'll eat some crumbs. I'm not too good for crumbs. I'll take a crumb. Amen. That's what I want you to see. She sought Him. Look at Jeremiah 29. This is what Jeremiah wrote to these children of Israel. They're over in with Nebuchadnezzar, and they're in Babylon in exile. They're being held against their will. And Jeremiah writes them an encouraging letter. And this is what Jeremiah says. He said in verse 12, "Then ye shall call upon me, ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me." Y'all read it out loud. What? When you search for me, how? with all your heart. If we learn anything today, I want you to learn something about being desperate with God. And I want you to understand that it got to come from your heart. You ever notice how many things God says has to happen with your heart? You know, number one, salvation happens with your heart. What do you mean, Brother Steve? It's not the thing that pumps blood. It's your mind, your will, and emotion. That's your heart. That's who we are. If you're in this room and you've had heart surgery, you can verify that I'm telling the truth about this. When human hands touch a human heart, they will be emotional the rest of their life. Come on, heart people, nod with me. You've been there. I cried over songs. I'm like, why are you crying? I don't know why. Doc, you heard that before? There's a guy that fools with hearts a little bit. Brother Greg's been through it. It didn't bother my emotions none. But Sherry's going a little bit. I got one in the back over there in the corner named Whitty. He's probably said a little bit. I'm telling you. Our heart is where our mind, our will, and emotion is. And Jesus said, if you want to be saved, you got to believe with all your heart, your mind, your will, and your emotion. Can I tell you this simply? You got to be all in with Jesus. You want to go to heaven? Jesus, you got to say, He's the only way. When He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, He said it, not me. Well, Brother Steve, I think that's kind of unfair because we live in a world with different people, got different gods. Listen, it did in Jesus' day too. He didn't say, well, you know, it could be Buddha, Muhammad, it could be any of them. That's not what He said. He said, I'm the way. And you have to come to a point in your life that you just believe that Jesus is the only way. Now, let me say this. This woman was coming on behalf of her kid. But I think she needed more than that. I think we'd do anything for our kids. Let me give you a little advice from my stewardess on the airplane. Okay? She says, in case this thing goes down. That's what you want to hear when you're on the airplane. You just buckled up. You didn't pull the slack out. And underneath your seat's a life preserver in case we go in water. Praise the Lord. I feel like we'll be good. And then above you will be a life raft. That's great. I'm looking at the people on my boat. On my plane. Some of them's already started drinking them little bottles. I'm like, these guys are going to drown. And I'm thinking, I'm just worried about myself getting out of here. And she says, in case we lose air, there will be an oxygen mask passed down. Okay, that's great. Don't put it on your kid first. Sarah's sitting there with three kids crawling. The lady, don't put it on the kid first. Put it on yourself first, then help your kid. Can I talk to y'all a minute? We got a lot of parents wanting to see their kids follow the Lord. They want to see their kids saved. They want to see their kids follow the Lord in baptism. But you won't do it. Amen, preacher. See, I'm back. And I'm meddling in your business. But I want you to know something. Until you ever want to help your kids, you got to help you. And you got to go to God. And this woman wants her daughter healed, and she's right there at the feet of Jesus, and she's begging and pleading because she believes He can do it. And she's not even a God worshiper, but she's heard enough and she believes enough that I'm all in on You, Jesus. I'm all in on You. Jeremiah says, if you will look for Me with all your heart, you will find Me. I love what it says in verse 13. You shall seek Me and find Me when you search with all your heart. I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. God is into answering prayer today. But He needs you to come to Him. Is there anybody in this room today who's a little ashamed to bring your thoughts to God about what you really are feeling, what you're really going through, what you're really struggling with, and you just don't want to tell God? I'm telling you, He knows already. He's just ready for you to get interested enough in Him to bring it out to Him. There's a song we don't have in this book, but it's probably in that little blue paper book. We need to sing some more out of that. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I think what we need today is what this woman did. She had a little talk with Jesus. She went and got right with the Lord. Go with me to Psalms 121. Let me read you one more. I love this psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, He keepeth Israel, shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is the keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from time forth, even forevermore. You think you've ever been in a situation that was dangerous? And looking backwards, you thought, you know what? God must have intervened right there. I think we'd be shocked to know how many times we've been in a dangerous situation. Rochelle and I, we've had our shares, and we talk about them sometimes. I'm like, I just shake sometimes thinking about where we was at. But at that moment in time, all I knew is God's got us. Let's not worry about it. But I look backwards, I'm like, Lord, have mercy, we could have died. Y'all ever thought that? But you know what? Why are we so hard to look to Him when we need Him? I mean, we ought to be like the people crying out to God like this woman and said, I need You, Lord. I need You now. Read on with me. The second thing the Bible tells us is she cried. If you read Matthew's account, she cried to Jesus. She cried to the disciples. She cried to everybody. Well, now, Brother Steve, I like to keep my business my business. I don't. I could use a little extra prayer. I like to throw them out there. Rochelle's got a CAT scan. You know, a few years ago they found the spots on her lungs, and we did the PET scans, and there was not enough evidence to say one way or the other. So we go every year, and I forgot all about it. And the week before we left to Belize, they called and said, it's time for your scans. And my mind started taking off. And then all of a sudden, we get a doctor's appointment for the next day. Now my mind's like really going. Nobody else does that kind of stuff. We got a God who cares. And I'm not too proud to say, hey, if y'all don't have anything to pray for tomorrow, pray for Rochelle when she has a scan, and pray for the doctor's appointment on Tuesday. Anybody else need like a little extra prayer or something coming your way? I got a couple. We all ought to have our hands up. Because I guarantee in this room there's a bunch of stuff going on. We got a kid that needs prayed for. We got a marriage that needs prayed for. We got a test result we're waiting on. There's a lot of stuff. And this woman's got the right answer. She's come to God. She's crying to God. Let me show you the last thing. She is persistent. She didn't quit. There's a song, I think it's in your red book, is I Am Resolved. You know what that means? I've done stood my foot down and I'm said, I'm not going to give up until this happens. I'm resolved. This woman was so resolved, I want you to see how resolved she was. And then I'll give you a close. Look what she says. And look what Jesus says in 27 and what she says in 28. Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. Now the children are referring to the Jews. In Matthew's account, he says, I've come to the lost sheep of Israel. I love what Mark records because she said, first. Jesus himself said, I came to the Jew first. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Hey, I can tell you truthfully, I pray for a lot of families in here. But I pray a lot for these families over here. You know why? Because they're mine. I want to see your grandkids saved. But I want to see mine. So I'm praying for mine first. But I get yours in. Listen, he that careth not for his own. He that careth not for his own. I'm going to get them all in a minute. He that careth not for his own is worse than it. What's an infidel? A non-believer. Your first concern should be your home. Does anybody know what the first institution in the world was? Well, Brother Steve, was a Baptist church. It was not. It was the family. The family. First thing God ever put on this earth was a family. And churches are families. Amen? They become one big family. But you know what? I still got a family. I want to see every one of my family in heaven one day, don't you? And so, when I read this and I see her desperation, I see her resolve, and Jesus said, I've come to the children first, and I came just cast them to the dogs. Now, I want you to see this, all right? In the Bible, in English, we have one word for dog. Dog. Say it with me. Boy, you all are quick. When you look at the original language, there's different kinds of dogs. There's mongrels that ravage like Jezebel, since we're talking about her. Remember that one? The dogs ate her, licked up her blood. That's really nice. Make a great movie. But this dog he's talking about was a puppy. Small dog. Young dog. How many of you have puppies or had puppies? A couple? You don't let them have scraps, right? You don't have one like Rochelle's got that feeds her puppy chow. She's on a weight loss program because she's really big. But when she's in the house and the grandkids are there, she's just like this. Because they know something's about to hit the ground. And old Mabel, she's just wiggling that tail, just waiting on something to hit. And I got a couple grandkids, no names. They're like, anybody? That's what Jesus is talking about. He said, we got this bread for the children. And it's not right to give that bread to the puppies. Watch verse 28, and I'm done. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, you're right. You're exactly right. You are right on. Yet, the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. I love that. I can tell y'all today, I don't think I have any Jewish blood in me that I know of. I'm for them. I've been over there twice and visited. I pray for Israel constantly. But I'm so thankful that He let some crumbs fall my way. I kind of like leftovers. Anybody here eat leftovers? Warm them up. I think sometimes they're better. You bring that out. I think, Courtney, for some reason, this grace that you and I got, the crumbs that you and I have got, woo, it's good stuff. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But God said, I'll let you have some. Man. But I'm going to tell you how she got the crumbs. She's willing to come and ask for it. You'll never know Christ until you ask Him in your heart. He's at the door knocking. Rochelle bought this picture for me the other day. No, she didn't buy it. Daryl's with us. Was getting the free pews and Rochelle's in there digging through the junk. She said, I found your picture. It's a picture of Jesus knocking at the door. Y'all seen that picture before? There's no doorknob. There's no doorknob. He's on the outside and he's going, but there's no doorknob. You know why? It's on the inside. He's knocking one in your life, but you're like, I don't know. He's saying, open the door, let me in. This woman would not quit. Persistent. I'll take a crumb. I don't need a whole loaf of bread. You ever been there? I'll take a crumb. Boy, if you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus, He wants you to know Him. And He came to the Jew first. Read Romans chapter 10, verse 12. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen. That got me right there. See, He died for you. Do you want to be saved? Do you need help? Do you need that God I've talked about that this woman heard about and believed in? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Maybe you're a mom or dad in here and you say, you know what we need to do at our home? I need to put God first in my life because I want my kids to follow my example. Maybe that's your step today. I don't know what your need is today, but I tell you, I think there's some crumbs out there for you. Do you want them? Let's stand and pray. Father, today, I thank You so much for Jesus. Lord, I read this story over and over, whether it's Matthew's account or Mark's. I see a woman who came to You, she cried to You, and she was persistent that You could help her. And Lord, You did. And Your statement about her in Matthew 15 was this. She had great faith. Great faith. Lord, that's what we need today in this room is great faith. Just to trust Jesus and leave Him up with the details. Lord, if there's one in this service that's not saved, I would pray today that they would give their life to You. Lord, I pray for those who have kind of slipped back in their Christian walk, that today they might step out forward and say, I want to serve You more than I ever have. Lord, there may be decisions like baptism and other things in the service. Lord, I pray for them to just to follow Your will. Lord, have Your will in this invitation in Christ's name. Amen.